We'll turn to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. As we get into Proverbs, what you're going to find is the last half of Proverbs, or the bulk of the last, a little more than half of Proverbs, is just every verse is a contrast. There's an inexhaustible supply, but I think at some point you're going to get bored with me teaching in Proverbs. So that's why I'm changing it up a little bit tonight. As we study through the rest of Proverbs, you're going to find a contrast between why, like tonight, wise and foolish. But every night that I preach on Proverbs, it'll be like the hospitable or versus the stingy and things of that nature, because the Bible speaks of it. And in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, you find the verse that says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." And you're going to find this is the heart of Proverbs, this contrast between the wise and the foolish. And the wise man is basically, the topic of the book of Proverbs. So the foolish man is the one who is the opposite or the antithesis of being wise. Now, the characteristics are different, and the New Testament refers to the fool as a lost person. But the foolish man can be summed up in this verse. We're going to look at the verses that deal with the fool tonight as well as the wise. But basically, his entire life is there in verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You can't tell him anything. He doesn't want to learn anything. I was very much like that as an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old. And it wasn't until the Lord really saved my soul at 23 that I started to come out of that mess and where I would actually start to listen. And the fool is wise in his own eyes. The word fool means one who is destitute of reason, one who follows his own inclinations, somebody who doesn't need answers from anyone else. That's what Proverbs really teaches us about the fool. He's not willing to learn from anyone. He knows everything. But every time he opens his mouth, you know who you're talking to. My preacher used to say, it's okay if people think you're a fool. Just don't open your mouth and dispel all doubt. That's what he'd say. Brother Bob was like that. And, the way of a fool is hard, the Bible teaches us. And we have to determine to stay away from that. Now, a wise man is the main topic, as I said, of the book of Proverbs. You're going to find his theme in Proverbs 9. Jump over to Proverbs 9 in verse 10. Proverbs 9 in verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord." Do you see that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. A wise man, in contrast to the fool, is someone who really does care about the Lord. They care about what the Lord thinks. They care about what the Lord wants. They care about the desires the Lord has for their life. That is what they're looking for. And in contrast, the fool, you can't reason with them. And so many people want wisdom, but they don't always like the package it comes in. You know, when my kids were little, at Christmas, they'd play with the box and the paper more than they'd play with the toy. Do you guys ever have that? They're just little bitty rascals would do that. The opposite of that is you and I. You know, sometimes the Lord wants to teach us wisdom, but we don't like the package he brings it to us in. Proverbs 3 tells us that wisdom is better than gold and silver and rubies, and a wise man is extremely valuable. But the wise man is someone who knows how to use knowledge properly. See, there are three concepts in the book of Proverbs you need to keep straight. Number one, there's knowledge. The root of that word is to know. It's basic information. Wisdom is how to use knowledge correctly. That's the definition of wisdom. But the third thing is understanding. So knowledge is what? Wisdom is how, understanding is why. And if we're going to be wise, we need more than just knowledge. We need to know how to handle the knowledge we have, plus why we need to handle it in the way we do. See, I find a lot of times when people understand the knowledge, or the why, excuse me, the rest of this kind of falls in place. We get in the habit of learning the what. We teach our kids what. This is what you do. This is what you do. Then we wonder why they go in a different direction when they're not under our supervision. It's because they've not grasped the why. How many times has a kid got to fall off a ladder to realize, I need to be careful up here and not fool around? You see what I'm saying? Once they understand the why, they understand this. When I was a youth pastor in El Paso, this is back before the internet, and I would clip out a newspaper. All right, everybody, for you younger folks, a newspaper, some piece of paper that came, right? With newspaper clippings, whenever, and please don't hate me, but whenever a child acted foolish and got themselves killed. I'm just being honest with you. You know, I can't save every pup in the pound, but if I can teach your daughter not to chat on the internet with somebody they don't know because this little girl found herself strangled, raped, and killed and left behind the dumpster at Walmart, then hopefully your kid will learn. If I can teach your son not to skip school and go smoke weed and climb up Mount Franklin outside of Fort Bliss and die from exposure because they're too high to find their way home, you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we forget to tell kids why. Why? What, don't you trust me? It's not about you, ding dong. It's about how the world hates you and wants to steal your health, your wealth, and your youth. The world's out to get you like that. And if you talk to somebody with a little gray on their hair, you'll find out I'm right. That's all the world wants, is to steal your health, your wealth, and your youth. That's all they want. And then the devil throws you away like the devil throws away all his playthings. So the question is, you know what the Bible says. And you've probably, if you've been in church any length of time, have been schooled on how to apply it. Do we have to learn from Hard Knocks the why? Or can we trust the Lord? See, that's the difference between the wise and the fool. The fool has to learn the hard way. The fool has to learn with stripes on his back from a whip or a cane, where the wise man learns from every other opportunity. Well, now people will say to me, well, Brother Mix, you understand that experience is the best teacher. Yeah, if you're too dumb to learn any other way, then yeah, experience is the best teacher. Take your Bibles tonight, turn to Proverbs chapter 17. And verse 16. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight. And if you want to take notes, my outline is up on the web and will be for you to download tonight when you get home. The actions of a foolish man is someone who despises wisdom. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 16 says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart for it? Why? Why? Why send him to school? Why go through the effort when they have no desire to learn? I've often told my children, listen, you can learn the hard way, or you can learn from somebody else. The question is, which one are you going to do? Look at verse 24. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth. They don't want to listen. They despise wisdom. In the Bible, Rehoboam in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 5, he's a perfect example of this. Do you remember who Rehoboam is? He's Solomon's son. So Solomon dies, and the people come to Rehoboam and say, if you will lighten up a little bit, lighten our burden, we'll serve you. We will gladly serve you and pay taxes. So he says, come back tomorrow. So he goes and he talks to the old men who used to advise Solomon. Now remember, Solomon's the wisest man who ever lived. So these old gray-haired guys are the ones who used to consult the wisest man who ever lived. And they said to Rehoboam, listen, your dad worked them like dogs. If you'll just back up a little bit and give them a breather, they'll pay their taxes and they'll serve you. He says, okay, thanks. And then he goes and he talks to his friends. And his friends tell him, no, you establish your leadership. You know what you're doing. You walk in like the boss. You act like the boss. And you tell him, you think my dad was tough? Watch what I do. Guess which advice he listened to? He listened to his friends rather than the old men, and he split the kingdom. He despises wisdom. He also despises instruction, the Bible says. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 5. The fool doesn't want to hear the truth. Look at this in verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. I think we've all heard the funny story about the kid who ran off to go to the military because he was tired of people telling him what to do, right? We've all heard it. But isn't that what a fool does? And they're so shocked when the boss sits them down and says, you know, we've appreciated your service, but you're no longer required. You don't have to show up tomorrow. Grab a box. And they're shocked. And they think how horrible. I remember when I was managing the sales floor at Advanced Tissue, we had somebody who screamed, you know, wrongful termination and discrimination until we pulled out all the lists of times they were corrected and written up for being late and not running through their work and not listening to what the boss had to say and insubordination. A fool cannot learn any other way. They hate knowledge. Proverbs 15 and verse 7, the Bible reads, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. They hate knowledge. A fool will also grieve their mother. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20, look what the Bible reads. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. This is Esau. Do you remember how Esau married the Canaanite women? Because he heard mom say, I don't want him marrying the Canaanite woman. Yeah, Esau married one, and she's a grief. So I want you to send Jacob back to my father's house to find him a wife. And Esau gets mad and in spite goes out and marries two more. He grieves his mother. A fool will flatter people who inside he truly hates. That's Sanballat and Tobiah. A fool will laugh at sin. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. They laugh at sin. Samson is a great example of this. See, when you watch these Bible movies, they put some guy in there the size of Schwarzenegger, and they say, that's Samson. That's not very miraculous. I got a feeling he was probably 5'4", 120 pounds, soaking wet, but strong as 10 men. And he thought he could play with sin and win. Do you remember? Remember, he goes down to a place he shouldn't have went, with people he shouldn't have been around, and saw a girl he should have never met, and then told his parents to go and get her for me and we'll marry her. And she turned out to be the one that turned on him. They laugh at sin, and that's what a fool does. And you know they speak foolishly, like Cain did in Genesis 4. He spoke and said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes. You are. Look at Proverbs 15 and verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. What's crazy is a fool is not ashamed of their foolishness. Look at Proverbs number 15 and verse 14. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. This is Amnon. This was one of David's sons. Amnon's the one that ended up listening to his friend and raping Tamar. Ruined their lives. Fools don't think past the end of their nose. I've often been concerned about what I'm raising in my home. Were they foolish or are they wise? Can they learn from other people? Well, let me ask you a question. Can you learn from other people? Do you always have to learn the hard way? The experience way? Can you not learn from someone else's example? Can you not learn from someone's good example? Smartest thing I ever did. I was listening to, back when I was young, we used to have cassette tapes, and cassette tapes were like motivational speeches. Anybody ever have that? Nobody ever listened to cassette tapes? We all did it. On there, they said, look, if you don't know what to do with your life, go find three people that live the way you want to live and find out what they do and then go and follow in their footsteps. Well, I had lost the job I had. All right, so I got married June 17th, 1989, and I was unemployed. And while I wasn't looking, my wife rented a house on the other side of our little town for $250 a month. Now, you got to understand, minimum wage was $4 an hour, okay? And so we rented the house. I didn't have a job, but I had a rent, and I wasn't sure what to do. So I was listening to these motivational tapes thinking, I'm going to hang the moon. I'm going to light the world on fire. And this man said, go find three guys. So I did. And it changed my life. I found three guys that lived the way I wanted to live. And I said, I want a marriage like yours. I want a house like yours. I want a life like yours. And I pulled the guy aside and I said, what do you do? And he said, look, here's what you do. And it set me on a path that changed my life for the good. Can you learn that way? Or do you have to try and fail and try and fail? As a teenager, I had to do it the hard way. As a father, I tried to explain to them, there's a better way. And we tried to walk them through those things through there. Because a fool not only rejects truth, he rejects correction. Look at Proverbs 17 and verse 10. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. In Proverbs 17 and verse 10, the Bible says, reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. A wise person will accept correction, where a fool only gets corrected through a beating. Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, had to learn the hard way. It also says that a fool disappoints his father. Look at Proverbs 17 and verse 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and a father of a fool hath no joy. David learned this the hard way with Absalom. Remember Absalom? Absalom stole the kingdom from David. He loved Absalom. He loved Absalom unconditionally. He told his men not to kill him. But Absalom led a rebellion against his father. And that's because they don't understand. They lack understanding. You can't explain it to them. They won't listen. The rich young ruler in Mark 10 is an excellent example of this. Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, well, you know what the Bible says, how read is. And he said, well, I've kept all the commandments. And he said, that's good, but you have one thing you lack. Go sell all you have and follow me. And the man went home basically disappointed because he had great things. He didn't understand what Jesus was trying to tell him, that the things of this world have too big a hold on you to follow me. Let me ask you a question. Is there something you're holding on to at your house that is keeping you and your kids from walking with God? Is there something in your life? I don't know. Ask the Lord. I don't know. I don't live at your house. Nor is it my job to go in there and find out. But ask yourself. Are you afraid to ask? Well, what if the Lord tells me to take this away? Or what if the Lord, well, if it salvages your kid's future, is it worth it? There are many a parent whose kids are in the grave that if they could have backed up the truck and made a change, they'd have gladly done it. I mean, even crazy things like disconnecting the TV or deciding to not work that extra shift and be home. And I don't know. What is it in your life? Is it leading them farther away from God or to God? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, the Bible says. They come kind of as the default that way. And you have to train them. For them to be wise, we have to walk them through the paces. Do you realize a fool speaks without thinking? Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 13. The Bible reads, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. In Proverbs 29:20, it says, seest a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than him. Herod the Great was that way. Herod the Great was sitting on his throne after he massacred all the babies in Bethlehem. And he made an oratory about how great he was and how powerful he was and how he was the King of Kings. And then God smote him and his guts fell out. He didn't think about who he was cursing. Now, the characteristics of a foolish person is they do what's right in their own eyes. Now, back in Proverbs 12 and verse 15, we see the theme. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he's soon angry. You can always tell a fool because they can't control their temper. This is Nebuchadnezzar. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3 got so bad, he heated the furnace 7 times hotter than it was wont to be heated, and he had his men throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the flames, only to have his own men die. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come through. The Bible says that his face changed. He's so angry. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse, well, look at Proverbs 14 and verse 17. You're right there close. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. A fool is proud, someone that cannot be reasoned with. Proverbs 14:3 says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. It's also the characteristic of a fool is someone who's deceitful. Look at verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is understanding his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. It also says that a fool is very wasteful. Look at Proverbs 21 and verse 20. Very wasteful. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 20. There is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. This is the unjust steward of Luke 16. Remember? He spent everything, and then the master came back and there was a reckoning. So what's the consequences of a fool? What is the future for a child or an adult who is a fool? Well, number one, they receive shame. Proverbs 3:35 tells us. They receive correction. Proverbs 7:22. And they're destroyed. Proverbs 18 and verse 7. Look at it. Proverbs 18 and verse 7. The Bible reads, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. He ends up dying, Proverbs 10:21. He ends up serving others because he can't take care of himself, Proverbs 11:29. There's always contention in the life of a fool, always. Proverbs 18 and verse 6, look what it reads. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes, meaning he cannot be reasoned with, and somebody's going to punch him in the face. You think, well, that is just horrible. That is just horrible. How many of here learned on the schoolyard you cannot get ugly in the face of someone else without getting punched in the face? How many learned that in the schoolyard? Well, that's just horrible. Why do you think the kids today get up in your face and get ugly? Because they haven't learned. That's not how you behave. That's just horrible. That's just horrible. Really? You turned out okay. You seem to understand that beating on your boss's desk and cussing your boss to his face is not really productive. That just calling it in and doing the bare minimum just to get by isn't the way to be successful and take care of your family. You learned the hard way, didn't you? Someone hadn't taught this generation that it takes more than just the minimum if you're going to live on your own. Proverbs 19 and verse 29. Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools. Proverbs 26:3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Proverbs 27:22, though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention, his mouth calleth for strokes. Life is not going to be easy for someone who doesn't understand that they have to be able to learn and that their way is not always right. Well, that's a fool. So God warns the fool. God warns them time and time again. But the wise are different. The wise learn. The wise listens. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. The wise person will listen to someone when they talk. A wise man, look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. This is Samuel. As a young man, Samuel heard the voice of God. And even though he was raised by Eli, who was a permissive parent, and Hophni and Phinehas were wicked older stepbrothers, Samuel did not succumb to it because he had a heart where he would listen. A wise man accepts correction. Go to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8. A wise man can be corrected. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8, the Bible reads, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." Verse 9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." This is David. You know, David messed up, but David also learned to take correction. A wise man also follows instruction. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. "A wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. A wise son heareth his father's instruction," Proverbs 13:1 says. "Hear counsel and receive instruction, and that thou mayest be wise in the latter end," Proverbs 19:20. Do you follow instructions well? How well do you follow instructions? A wise person will gain knowledge. Look at Proverbs 10 and verse 14. "A wise man lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." A wise man will refrain his tongue. Look at Proverbs 10 and verse 19. "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. He who wins souls is considered wise. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, "Someone who listens to wise counsel and seeks it out." Proverbs 12 and verse 15, it says, "But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." He also walks with wise men. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Who do you run with? Who do you hang around? Now, I understand you have to work and you don't get to pick your team. I get that. But then there are people that you willingly spend time with at work or sit with. And do they encourage you? Do they build you? Or do they pull you back? Your children, who are their friends? My daddy used to say, "Tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you what you are." Ask yourself, who are my kids' friends? Do you know their names? Do you know their behavior? Do they act differently when they think you're not watching? Do they act differently? And they always want to be out of your sight. Have you ever noticed that? My sons used to play with these kids down the street when we lived in Arkansas, and those kids never wanted to be where we were. They always wanted to be in a back bedroom, or they always wanted to go out in the woods or something. They didn't want to be where mom and dad were. Why is that? Are your kids like that? They don't want to be in your presence? Why? I used to say, what is it that you can do that is right and righteous in your bedroom with the door closed that you can't do out here in the living room? They didn't have an answer. Who are your friends? Who are your kids' friends? Because those who walk with wise men shall be wiser still. A wise person departs from evil. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. But the fool rageth and is confident. I know what I'm doing. Have you ever heard that before? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. A wise person stays away from liquor. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I call it liquid stupid. I used to walk my children through the liquor section of the grocery store, and I say, this is what will ruin you. This will destroy you. You go ahead. If you want to be divorced and you want your kids raised by somebody else, you want to be like that guy sitting outside begging for money, then you drink this stuff. It'll ruin you. I'm telling you, it'll ruin you. Take your kids soul winning. Let them walk over beer bottles and pass cigarette butts to a kitchen that has no food in it and the children are doing without. Let them see what is the end of liquor. Beverage alcohol is a sin, and I don't care what anybody else says. I can show you 114 references in the Bible to the evils of beverage alcohol. I can only show you two where they were used as medicinal purposes. Now, we've all been stupid from time to time. We've all done dumb things. The question is wouldn't you like your children to learn from your testimony or rather than their experience? Remember what the world wants. The world wants to steal your health, your wealth, and your youth. And when the devil throws away his playthings, there really isn't much left. God can still use it, but is that really, really how you want your kids to learn? I know it's not a lot of fun to hear this kind of teaching, but I love you. And if it could keep your kid out of jail or rehab or the grave, and all you had to do was dump it down the drain, and you could keep your it would keep your kid out of rehab or the grave, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Your kids are going to do what your kids are going to do. I understand that. And your kids are going to try things when they get outside your house. And all you can do is prepare them. But remember, your children will never become what you tell them to be. They'll only become what you are. And then from there, they'll have to make choices. So abstain from it. Get rid of it. Set an example of sobriety and say, this is a waste of money, practically. It's a waste of life physically and brain cells. Because a wise person will get understanding. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 14. Proverbs 8 and verse 14. Proverbs 8 and verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Look at Proverbs 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Proverbs 10 and verse 23, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The basis of the whole teaching is that a wise man fears God. A wise man listens and cares what God thinks and what God wants and lines up his life with God because he trusts God. He fears God. Job is the perfect example. Everything was going bad. But he would not succumb to the flesh. A wise man will fear the Lord. That's what Proverbs 9 says, because it's the beginning of wisdom. And Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart shall be prudent, and the sweetness of his lips increase learning. The characteristics of a wise man is they're fair and just. That's what the Bible teaches in Proverbs 10. Then verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. That's Moses. The wise shall be patient. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Reminds me of the centurion who came to Jesus and said, my servant lieth at home sick. Remember, they were conquered people, and he went to them for help. Now, a wise man will receive honor. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but the shame shall be the promotion of fools. Wisdom will make a glad father. Proverbs 10 and verse 1. Wisdom will also make a joyful mother. Wisdom in your children will give them long days, long life. That's what verse 16 we just read. They'll possess wisdom and be happy. It'll protect them. It'll reward them. It'll deliver them. But you know, a child learns from us. We are their number one example. How we choose to live, the words we choose to use, the decisions we make, whether to go here or to go there, whether to be faithful or just live our whims, to be disciplined in our daily life or to just live according to our flesh. They learn this at home. And many of our habits as teenagers started when we were kids. And many of our adult habits started when we were teenagers. The question is, will you and I decide how we want them to come out as adults? Because we're not trying to raise godly kids. We're trying to raise godly adults. We want them, because one of these days they're going to walk out your door. One of these days they're going to get in a car. I remember each one of my four boys when they got in the solo ride. Do you remember that? Sister Ann, do you remember when your kids got in their car for the first time by themselves without you? Scary, isn't it? It's terrifying. One of these days your children are going to get in a car and drive off. And you're going to ask yourself, did I teach them well enough? Did I give them enough experience in a safe environment? Did I help them make right choices? Did I lay the foundation of godly character? Did I help them see through wisdom and understanding how things will turn out if they choose the wrong way? Did I do enough? I wonder sometimes. My kids are all grown. And I guess I won't find out till I see how my grandkids turn out. But there's still time for you. Many of you have children downstairs. Whether they become wise or whether they become fools, a lot of that is determined by our example. What will you choose today? What will you let the Lord correct you on today? And some of you are grandparents. You can still make a difference in this area as grandparents. The question is will we choose to do it, or we just stand idly by? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. There really is a difference between the wise and the foolish. There really is. What will we choose? What will our kids choose? And God help us, what will our grandkids choose because of our choices? Our Father and our God, we love you, and you chose that we would know you. You chose that we would hear about the gospel. And Father, today these fine folks have come so their kids could hear the gospel, so that they could challenge the kids that are here by the truth of the gospel, by their lives. Thank you, God, for the testimony of each person in here tonight who desired to be in your word. Father, bless them. And tonight, God, in the next few moments, we ask that you would put your finger on the place in our heart that needs to be addressed, that you would allow us the opportunity to hear your voice and to make changes and decisions that will affect the future of our families. And tonight, God, whatever it is that you desire, we ask that you would perform and perfect, because we can't do it by ourselves. We need you to do it in us. We give ourselves to you. And tonight, if there's one among us who's lost, may they be saved. And we pray for the children downstairs, God. If there's a child down there that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Father, give them the understanding of what sin is and what Jesus did for them. We ask this in his name. Amen. As Brother Phil plays some music, this is our prayer time. This is a time for you to talk to the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Whether you stay in your seat or come forward, that's up to you. But won't you talk to the Lord tonight? Won't you ask the Lord to direct you? Won't you ask the Lord to point you at things that will make a difference for the future? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Father, it's not always easy, not always easy to hear the truth. God, help us, help us. We're needy people. Father, the future generation of our families hangs in the balance. God, please use your word in a glorious way that others will see the truth that is you and believe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we have